Yehoshua Perek Chet. Vayomer Hashem al Yehoshua. Hashem now turns to Yehoshua after, in the previous perek, Achon was punished for stealing loot from Jericho. Al tira va'al techat. Do not be afraid. Again, tira and techat are two types of fear. Commentaries say one of them is the fear in the actual heat of battle, and the other one is the type of fear that a person is feeling trepidation before he goes into battle. Kach imcha et kol am hamilchama. Take with you the entire nation. Here you have to read the phrase, the commentaries say, as et kol am, kol ha'am, am hamilchama, the entire portion of the nation which is devoted to warfare. He's not taking the whole nation, he's just taking the soldiers. Vekum alei ha'ai, go and arise against the city of Ai. Rei, see, nasati v'yadcha es melech ha'ai, I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, ve'es amo, and his nation, and his city. The city sounds like it's the capital region, which is the main place where the kingship is controlling. And the lands sounds like that's the surrounding portion. So Hashem is telling Yehoshua, now that you've taken care of the sin of Jericho, proceed and attack Ha'ai, and this time you won't fail, but you will succeed. And Hashem continues telling Yehoshua, you're going to do to this city of Ai and to its king just like you did to Jericho and Jericho's king. But there's one difference. Rak shalala uvehemta tavozu lachem. But here, the loot you can take for yourself, and the animals can be your personal spoils of war. Simlecha orev la'ir me'acharecha. Place for yourself an ambush for the city behind it. So Hashem is telling Yehoshua, what you should do to Ai is totally destroy it, just like you totally destroyed Jericho. But the one difference is, in Jericho, you couldn't take spoils for yourself. But here, you can take the loot and the animals for yourself. And Hashem even tells Yehoshua how they're supposed to attack, the strategy, and that is by sneak attack. Place one ambush. We're going to see later there is actually a second ambush, but behind the city. This is the sneak attack. What's going to happen is that the ambush is going to be hiding on one side of the city, and Yehoshua is going to lead his army from the other side. They're going to pretend to flee, and then when they draw all of the soldiers out of the city, so then the ambush will get up and enter the city and destroy it. Vayakam Yehoshua, achol ha'am hamilchama, la'alos. So Yehoshua got up, together with the whole soldier portion of the population, to ascend to the city of Ai. Vayivchar Yehoshua, 30,000 ish, gibore hachayim. Yehoshua selected 30,000 mighty soldiers. Compare this with the 3,000, only 1/10 as many, which they tried to attack in the first attempt. Now it's 30,000. Vayishlachem lail. And Yehoshua sent these 30,000 troops at night. Vayitzav osam lemor. Yehoshua commanded these soldiers and said, Ru'u atem orvim la'ir, me'acharei ha'ir. You are going to be ambushers hiding out to make a sneak attack against the city from behind the city. Now you have to have a visual picture of the geography. There's going to be three positions of Jewish soldiers surrounding the city of Ai. Yehoshua, who's going to make the pretense of the attack and pretend to flee, is going to be north of Ai. The ambush is going to be on the west of Ai. So Yehoshua continues to instruct the ambushers, Al terchiku min ha'ir ma'od. Don't go very far from the city. V'yisem kulchem nechonim. You should all be at the ready, because we're going to see there's going to be a signal. Yehoshua is going to dip his spear, tilt his javelin, and that will be the indication when the ambush should come out and attack. So Yehoshua has told them to be in ambush near the city and get prepared. Va'ani, Yehoshua says, I, v'chol ha'am, and the whole main part of the nation, asher iti, nikrav al'ir. We're going to approach the city from the north side. V'haya, ki yetzu likrasenu, ka'asher barishona. And when the people of Ha'ai come out to attack us and pursue us like they did the first time on the tragic maiden, v'nasnu lifneim. And we're going to flee before them. We're going to pretend to run away. So Yehoshua continues to explain the plan. V'yatsu acharenu, ad hatikenu osam min ha'ir. So Yehoshua says the people of Ha'ai are going to depart from the city, following us, until they have totally been drawn out and left their city. Obviously, this will leave their city defenseless. But why are they leaving their city? Ki yomru, nasim lefanenu, ka'asher barishona. Because they're going to say, the Jews are fleeing from before us, just like they did the first time. V'nasnu lifneim. And Yahushua says, we are going to pretend to run away from them. Vatem, you, says Yahushua to the first ambush group, takumu meha orev, get up from your hiding spot, v'horashtem ha'seir, and you should take possession of the city, onasana Hashem elokechem b'yedch, and Hashem will deliver the city into your hand. You have a guaranteed victory. V'haya kesafsechem ha'seir, when you do capture the city, says Yahushua to the ambushers, tatitzu ha'seir ba'esh, ignite the city in fire, kidvar Hashem ta'asu, do what Hashem said. Because remember, above Hashem said, do to this city what you did to Jericho. So Yahushua understood that means burn it. Ru'u tzivisi escha, see or understand that I've commanded you to do this. So Yahushua has given instructions to the ambushers that after Yahushua and his group draw the citizens of Ai out of the city, the ambushers should attack and capture the city and burn it up. Vayishlechem Yahushua vayelchu el hamara. So Yahushua dispatched them, these ambushers, and they went to the hiding spot. Vayeshvu bein beisel uvein ha'ai. Literally, this says that they position themselves between Beit El and Ai. Again, Beit El is to the west of Ai. These are two cities next to each other. You have Beit El on the west and Ai on the east. So this group of ambushers is between Beit El and Ai. So that's Miyam La'ai. That's to the west of Ai. Again, Yam is the word for west because the biggest landmark on the west coast is the Mediterranean Sea. Vayalan Yahushua ba'layla ha'hu besocha'am. And Yahushua spent that night amongst the people. Why does it emphasize that Yahushua slept amongst the people? So the commentaries say because he slept in the middle of the camp so that when the morning time came, he'll be able to rouse the troops and make sure that they're all set. Vayashkem Yahushua ba'boker. Yahushua got up early in the morning, and he oversaw the troops, make sure everything was prepared. So Yahushua ascended him with the elders of Israel before the nation towards the city of Ai. All of the battalions with him, they ascended and they approached and they arrived facing the city of Ai. So they set up camp to the north of Ai. Again, this is Yahushua setting up camp to the north of Ai, about to attack and pretend to flee. The Hagai, Beinav, Uvein Ha'ai. There was a valley between the Jews to the north and Ha'ai in the south. Yahushua took 5,000 men. These are going to be a second ambush group. Just like we had one group of ambush positioned between Beit El and Ai, which is, again, is to the west of Ha'ai, so too you have a second group of ambush in that same spot mentioned in this post. Vayasimu ha'am es kol ha'machaneh asher mitzpon la'ir ve'es akevo miyam la'ir. So if you're looking from a bird's eye view, you would see the nation positioned most of their camp toward the north of the city of Ai and the minor portion to the west of the city of Ai. Again, that minor portion to the west being the ambush. Vayelech Yahushua balayla hahu betocha emek. And Yahushua went that night into the valley. So literally, this means he went into the geographical area, which was a lowland, between his camp and the city of Ai. But the commentaries say that because previously he had caused the people to be violating the sin of Bittul Torah, they should have been learning, and he was taking them out to busy them. Remember, that's why the angel came to threaten him when he took off his shoe. So here, Yahushua, just the opposite, he spent this night engaging in Onka Shel Halacha. That's a play on words. The Emek, the valley, is understood to be they spent time devoted to Talmud Torah. Vayhi kiros melech ha'ai. So now, the king of Ai saw Yahushua and his soldiers to the north. Vayimahru vayishkimu vayetzu anshei ha'ir likras Yisrael lamelchama. So the citizens of Ai, the soldiers, rushed and they got up early and they departed from their city to engage the Jews in battle. Hu v'cholamo, the king of Ai and his whole nation. Lamoed, this means at the specific time, which the commentaries say is the same time that it was, I think it means the same time of day, that it was on the previous occasion when the Jews attacked Ai failed. Lifnei ha'arava, this is the geographic landscape on which the battlefield took place. It was facing the Arava region. V'hu lo yada ki orev lo me'acharei ha'ir. The king of Ai didn't know that just to the west of his city there was an ambush group waiting to capture Ai. Vayinagu Yahushua v'kol Yisrael lifnehem vayanusu derech hamidbar. So Yahushua and the Jewish people made it as if they were afflicted. It sounds like they were limping along and looking pathetic and injured, all for pretend. And they fled toward the wilderness, away from the people of Ai. Vayizaku kol ha'am, asher ba'ai, lerdof achareihem. So all the people of Ai gathered together to pursue after Yehoshua and his troops. Vayirdefu achareih Yehoshua. They chased them. Vayinatku min ha'ir. And they totally abandoned the city. They left it unmanned. Velo nishar ish ba'ai. There did not remain any man in the city of Ai, nor in the city of Beit El. Remember, Beit El is the city just to the west of Ai. No man left behind. They all went out to chase the Jews. Vayazvu es ha'ir pesucha. They left their city totally open and vulnerable. Vayirdefu achrei Yisrael. They chased after the Jews. Vayemar Hashem al Yehoshua. So now that the people of Ai are chasing the Jewish camp led by Yehoshua in their mock fleeing, Hashem tells Yehoshua, now is the time. Nete bakidon, tilt your spear, sher biyadcha, which is in your hand, el ha'ai. So it's as if it looks like Yehoshua is going to point his spear. Okay, now you ambushers who are looking on, I'm giving you the signal to attack. Because Hashem tells Yehoshua, I have delivered this city into your hand. So Yehoshua does what he's told. Yehoshua took his spear, he tilted it in his hand toward the city. So the ambush got up quickly from their spot where they were hiding, and they ran as Yehoshua was tilting his arm. Vayavo ha'ir vayil kedua. They arrived at the city, the ambushers, and they captured it. Vayimaharu vayatzisu esair ba'esh. And without any delay, they quickly ignited the city to burn it. Vayifnu anshei ha'ai achareihem. So now the people of Ai, who had chased Yehoshua out of the city in one direction toward the north, turned around the opposite direction, and they see that this camp of ambushers on the west of Ai had entered. Vayiru vehine ala ashan ha'ir hashamayma. So now these people, what a disappointment. They look back at this beautiful city and it's literally going up in smoke. Velo hayavahem yadayim lanus hena vehena. And the people of Ai didn't have arms to flee, neither here nor there. So what does it mean they didn't have arms to flee? So commentaries say it means they didn't have the strength. The arms are the symbol of strength. They didn't have the power to flee, to escape the Jewish attack. Or others say they didn't have enough space. Sometimes the word yad can mean a place. They didn't have enough space. They were like cornered. They didn't have any elbow room to escape. V'ha'am hanas hamidbar napach el harodef. And the Jews, Yehoshua's group, who had fled toward the desert, turned around, and the tables have turned. They're going to pursue the people of Ai who had been chasing them. V'yoshua v'chol Yisrael ra'u ki lochad ha'arev es ha'ir v'chi ala ashan ha'ir. So Yehoshua and all of the Jews saw that the ambushers had captured the city and the smoke was rising up from the city. V'yoshuvu v'yaku es anshei ha'ar. So Yehoshua's group turned and they smote the people of Ai. V'eile yatsu min ha'ir likrasam. The other group of Jews departed from the city, which was now burning, to join in the battle. Vayihyu Yisrael batavech elimizeh ve'elimizeh. So now the people of Ai were surrounded literally on both sides by two Jewish fronts. Vayaku osam ad bilti hirshilo sarid upalit. And the Jews smote the people of Ai without leaving anyone remain. Ves melech ha'ai tafsu chai. So it sounds like they killed everybody. But one exception is the king of Ai captured alive. Vayikrivo so el Yehoshua. They brought the leader of Ai to the Jewish leader. Vayihi kechalos Yisrael. Vaharog es kol yoshvei ha'ai basadeh bamidbar. Asher redafum po. Vayiplu chulam lefi cherev artumam. So it happened that when the Jewish nation had finished killing all of the inhabitants of Ai who had pursued them into the field in the wilderness, and all of these people of Ai had perished by the sword down to the last one. Ad tumam means it was a complete defeat. Vayeshuvu chol Yisrael ha'ai. So now the Jews turn back to the city itself, which had been burning. Vayaku osa lefichar. And they smote that city by the sword. Vayehi chol hanoflim bayom hahu me'ish ve'ad isha shneima sar elef. So it was all the ones who perished on that day of the population of Ai, men and women, was 12,000. Kol anshei ha'ai, the entire city. V'yoshua lo heishiv yado. Yehoshua did not restore the position of his arm, which had been tilting his spear, until they had destroyed all of the inhabitants of the city of Ai. Only who remained alive the animals, and the loot, so that the Jewish people could take for themselves. Kidvar Hashem asher tziva es Yehoshua. This was a stipulation that Hashem had told Yehoshua was permitted. Unlike Jericho, now they were allowed to take from the loot an animal. Vayisrof Yehoshua es hai. Vayisima tel olam. So Yehoshua burned the city of Ai, and to me it sounds like it's not that he burned it a second time. This is just a description summing up what had happened. What happened that we just read about? Yehoshua had burned the city of Ai, and he placed it as a Tel Olam Shemama, which sounds like an eternal heap of desolation, until this very day. Ve'es melech Ai tala al ha'etz ad es ha'arev. The king of Ai, they hung on a tree. It's not clear when it says tala al ha'etz, does that mean they hung him, like they suspended him from a rope, or I should say hanged, meaning like with a noose and a rope, like we say the expression of hanging, or it could be that it was more like crucifixion, more or less. Tala ala eitz, right? There's different ways a person could be, excuse this graphic imagery, but there's two ways a person, in this case the king of Ai, could be suspended on an eitz. He could be suspended from a rope from the tree, or he could be suspended by nails or by spikes on a pole of wood, because the word eitz can mean a tree or it can mean a wooden pole. Anyway, he was hanging there, the king of Ai, until the evening. So then when the sun was setting, Yehoshua made a command that they should take him down. And they took his body down from the eitz, again, which was either a tree or a wooden frame. And they cast him by the gate of the entrance of the city. And they set up on top of him a heap of stone, a huge one, ad hayom hazeh, till this very day. Az, so then, after the Jewish people had totally destroyed the city of Ai, Yivneh Yehoshua mizbeach l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael b'har Ebal. Yehoshua built an altar to Hashem, the God of Israel, at the mountain of Ebal. Now, the literal interpretation and the order that we read it in is that first we had the Battle of Jericho, the Battle of Ai, and now, only after destroying Ai, Yehoshua makes this altar on the mountain of Ebal. But the commentaries say that this parsha was written out of order. And we find that several times in the Torah, that parshios are written not in chronological order. And the commentaries say this section we're going to read now about the episode at Mount Ebal was actually earlier in sequence, and it happened on the same day that they crossed the Yarden. Remember, that was the opening of Sefer Yehoshua. But the Battle of Jericho, the Battle of Ai, that was subsequent to this episode of Har Eval. Ka'asher tziva Moshe Eved Hashem es b'nei Yisrael. Ka'kasub b'sefer Torah Moshe. So when Yehoshua built this altar on Mount Eval, he was doing exactly as Moshe, the servant of Hashem, had commanded the Jewish people to do, as it says in the Chumash. Where does it say this in the Chumash? It's basically referring to the 27th chapter of Sefer Devarim, in which Moshe Rabbeinu says it couldn't hurt to review this. Vahaya, I'm now reading from Sefer Devarim. Vahaya b'yom asher ta'avru et ha'yarden el ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha nosein lach. So Moshe tells the people, on the day when you cross the Jordan into the land which Hashem is giving you, v'hakemos elecha avanim gedolos v'sarata osam basit, you should set up great stones and plaster them with a coating. V'kasavta alehen. You remember the 12 stones, there was a couple of sets of 12 stones, but one of the sets of 12 stones that they took from the Yarden was for this purpose, as Moshe describes. V'kasavta alehen es kol divrei ha-Torah hazos be'avrecha. You should write upon those stones all the words of this Torah when you cross over. Now, to write the entire Chumash or would take a very big stone or very little handwriting. So the commentaries say it's not the whole Chumash, it's not even the whole book of Sefer Devarim, some say. It's just part of it, the main commandments, and we'll see why this is important. It's for the Gentiles to come and read it in the various languages, so it didn't have to be the entire Chamisha Chumshei Torah. It could be the main mitzvot, so that would save on the space for all that tech. Lema'an asher tavo el ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha nosein lecha eretz zavas chalav udvash ka'asher diber Hashem Elokei avosecha lo. So Moshe tells us that you should write it when you cross over to enter the land which Hashem is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that he said to your ancestors he would give it to you. When you cross over the Jordan, set up these stones, which I'm commanding you today. Again, this is Moshe Rabbeinu telling the people well before. Moshe Rabbeinu had passed away more than a month before they had crossed over the Jordan, but he's telling them what to do. And we're going to go back soon to Sefer Yehoshua and see where they actually carry out this command. So Moshe tells them, set up the stones on Mount Eval and coat them with plaster. Uvanisa Sham Mizbeach L'Hashem Elokecha. You should build an altar to Hashem your God. Mizbeach Avanim, an altar of stones. Lo Tanif Aleihem Barzel. Don't pass iron tools on it. Again, the commentaries say that iron is a symbol of destroying life, like by the sword. So the Mizbeach, which is devotion to Hashem, should be a source of life, and it's not appropriate for metal, which is for weaponry that shortens life, to be on the Mizbeach, which is supposed to lengthen life. Avanim shlemos tivne es Mizbeach Hashem Elokecha. They should be full stones, meaning not hewn with metal, like we said, when you build this altar to Hashem. V'halisa alav olos l'Hashem Elokecha. And you should sacrifice burnt offerings to Hashem your God on this altar. Moshe Rabbeinu continues and tells, what are we supposed to do? V'zavachta shlamim v'achalta sham. Not only burnt offerings, but also peace offerings, and you should eat them. You should eat there. And you should rejoice. The rejoicing seems to be gratitude and thankfulness to Hashem that He's giving us this land. So we're offering sacrifices in honor of Hashem who provides us this blessing. Again, Moshe tells us to write the words, all the words of this Torah, Ba'er Hetev, which means in the various languages that the nations can understand, because they're supposed to come and learn these laws. Just a gematria for those who like numbers. Ba'er Hetev is supposed to be, it means thoroughly explained, literally, but the commentaries say it means the 70 languages. And if you add up the numbers of each letter in the word Ba'er Hetev, success staggered and successively, so you actually get 70. Hey Yud Tet Vet Hetev. So Hey is 5 plus Hey Yud is another 5, another 10, 6. But the easier way to count these numbers is just multiply the Hey 4 times, the Yud 3 times, the Tet 2 times, and the Bet 1 time. So that's Hey is 5 times 4 is 20. Yud is 10 times 3 is 30. So that's 20 plus 30 is 50. The Tet 2 times 9 is 18. 18 plus the 50 is 68. And the final letter Bet is 2. 68 plus 2 is 70. I think that's from the Chasam Sofer. Hey Tev, successively added up, leads to 70. Now back to Sefer Yehoshua, where they're carrying out this command to set up the stones with the Torah written on them and the altar, which Yehoshua is building, at Mount Eval. So recap. Az yivneh Yehoshua mizbeach l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael b'har Eval. So then Yehoshua built, the word yivneh, it looks like it's a future tense, but it could also be a continuous verb, and here it's referring to the past. Yehoshua built the altar to Hashem, the God of Israel, at Mount Eval. And the word az, then, is referring back to the day they crossed the Jordan, which was before these battles of Jericho and Ai. Kasher tziva Moshe eved Hashem es b'nei Yisrael. Just like Moshe, the servant of Hashem, had commanded the Jewish people. Kakasu b'sefer Torah Moshe, like we just read from chapter 27 of the book of Devarim. That was the command by Moshe Rabbeinu. And carrying it out was Yehoshua right now. Again, that would be on the 10th of Nisan, the day they crossed the Jordan. Mizbach avanim shleimot. An altar of stones that were shlemot means they're complete stones, meaning they were not hewn. Asher lo hainif aleihem barzel. There was no metal which had passed or cut them. Vayalu alav olot l'Hashem v'yizbechu shlamim. And they offered burnt sacrifices, olot, and they slaughtered shlamim, peace offerings, which were going to be eaten. Vayichtav sham al ha'avanim. And they wrote upon those stones, es mishnei Torah Moshe. Again, this is not the whole Torah they wrote. Mishnei Torah would be a reference to Sefer Dvarim. And again, the commentaries even say that it's not even the whole Sefer Dvarim, it's just the main laws. Asher katav lifnei b'nei Yisrael, the laws which Moshe had written for us. So we are now going to write it, Yehoshua is writing it, for the nation. V'kol Yisrael uzkenav v'shotrim v'shoftav omdim mizeh umizeh la'aron neged ha'kohanim ha'leviyim nosei aron brit Hashem kager ka'ezrach chetzio el mul ha'grizim v'ha'chetzio el mul ha'eval ka'asher tziva Moshe eved Hashem. So now the whole Jewish nation, and the elders, and the officers who enforce the law, and the judges who decide the law, they were standing on either side of the ark, facing the Kohanim, who were carrying the ark. There was convert and born Jew alike, everyone together. Again, the word ger is a convert, the word ezrach is a citizen, but it means someone who's not a convert, someone who's a born Jew. Everyone's participating together. Half of them are facing Har Gerizim, and the other half is facing Har Eval. As Moshe, the servant of Hashem, had commanded that they should bless the nation back in Sefer Dvarim. Again, this blessing, and also curses, that is occurring facing both mountains is also in the rest of chapter 27 of the book of Dvarim that Moshe told the people. Just to review that, Vayitzav Moshe et ha'am b'yom ha'u le'mor. Moshe told the nation on that day, saying, the following should stand to bless the nation on Mount Gerizim when you cross the Jordan. Which six tribes of the Jews? Shimon v'Levi, v'Yehuda v'Yisachar, v'Yosef v'Binyamin, v'Eli yamdu al haklala, v'Hareva. And the other six, I don't know why they got the short straw and they had to stand for the curse, but the other tribes on facing Mount Eval would correspond to the curse. That's Reuven, Gad, Asher, and Zvulun, and Dan, and Naphtali. Someone, I don't know who, made a calculation of the population of each tribe at the time and says and claims that this permutation, this division, you know, there's different ways of dividing. If you have 12 tribes, you could divide them, you know, choose these six versus another six. There's different ways of choosing it. So this permutation of choosing Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, and Binyamin as one group of six, and Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zvulun, Dan, and Naphtali as the other group of six, some say is the closest it could have been to be a 50-50 split of the population. V'anu ha'levim v'amru el kol ha'ish kol ram. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells us that the Levim should recite in a loud voice towards all the Jews the following, and it gives a list of 12 curses that are to be recited, and everyone's supposed to answer Amen. So now, in Yehoshua's time, they're actually doing it. But before the curses, which are mentioned in Sefer Dvarim, there's also blessings, and they're going to start with the blessing, and the curses come after. So back to Sefer Yehoshua, V'achreichein, after the ceremony of the blessings, after the setup of who's standing on this mountain and that mountain, Kara es kol divrei ha-Torah ha-bracha v'ha-klala. So Yehoshua read the words of the Torah, the blessing and the curse, kechol ha-katuv b'sefer ha-Torah, everything that was written in the Torah. Lo haya davar mikol asher tziva Moshe, asher lo kara Yehoshua neged kol kahal Yisrael. There was nothing which Moshe had commanded that Yehoshua had omitted from telling the Jewish people at this point in time. And it wasn't just, you know, the men who were here. It was Neged Kol Kahal Yisrael V'Hanashim V'Hataf V'Hager HaHolech B'Kirbam. The whole congregation, also the women, also the children, and also the Gerim who had accompanied them. So that could mean converts, or that could mean people who had tagged along, even if they weren't Jewish. There's basically two types of Gerim mentioned in the Torah. One is a convert, and the other one is a Ger Toshav, who doesn't have to keep all of the commandments, but he keeps some of them, and is not Jewish. This concludes Perek Chet of Yehoshua. Let's try to summarize what we learned. Hashem tells Yehoshua not to be afraid. You're going to conquer Ai now, the city of Ha'ai. You should set up an ambush. Yehoshua leads out the men of Ha'ai in one direction, and the ambush captures and burns the city from the other direction, and they totally destroy the citizens. They take the loot. They hang the king and cover him with stones. By the way, taking down the king from his hanging position is a very important point. This is a wicked person, and also in the Torah it mentions that someone who is to be hung, to be hanged, is to be taken down, because even though that person is a criminal who's got the capital punishment, so he's not a great tzaddik, but still, to have a human figure up there is a disgrace to Hashem. So the Torah says that it's not right that someone who's made in the image of God, even if it was a bad person, but he shouldn't be hanging out for too long, so take him down by sunset in order not to disgrace Hashem. So the second part of this chapter goes back in time to the day they crossed the Jordan. Yehoshua built a Mizbeach by Har Eval, as Moshe commanded in chapter 27 of Sefer Dvarim. He wrote the words of the Torah, or the main commandments of Sefer Dvarim, on the 12 stones in various languages. He positioned all the people opposite the two mountains, Har Gerizim for the blessings, Har Eval for the curses, and he recited the laws of the Torah in front of the people, including women and children.